Good Friday, the main sanctuary will be open for prayer all day. So if you want to just stop in to spend some time in prayer, and we have a beautiful tenebrae service that night, that descent into darkness as we walk with Jesus through the darkest time of his life. And then come back Sunday morning and celebrate the resurrection. We have 5 Easter services. The 2 contemporary services are at 9 and 10:30. And I know 10:30 is so awesome because you can do that whole Easter egg hunt, get your kids all hyped up on chocolate Easter bunnies, and then come to church. But I would love to encourage you. We do get a lot of visitors that come on Sunday. If 9 o'clock could work for you and your family, would you please come and just be part of the core that welcomes visitors here? It's going to be a wonderful celebration this week. I pray that you are blessed as you walk through it. Mark, would you come and get us started on this celebration?
Thank you, Jonna. It really is great to be together this morning on this Palm Passion Sunday to remember the good news of Jesus' love for us. Would you continue in prayer with me? God, we do thank you for this day you've made. We rejoice and are glad in it. We do say, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. We thank you that you are here, right here now in our midst. We pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive you. Grant that we would have ears to hear what you want to say to us, so that we would not simply celebrate what you've done, but we would join in with what you are doing here now in our lives and through us in this world. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to welcome you again to Salem Covenant Church. It's great to be together. And one of the things I do love about Salem is the fact that it's a multi-generational church where we have our children to be able to sing with us and lead us really on that path of celebration and of service that God calls us to. Loved in the first service, we had our children's choirs, our bell choirs joining in with our sanctuary choir. I love the fact that we have so many different ways for us to express our gratitude to God and join in with what God's doing here. Palm Sunday's always been one of my favorite days for the church, a day of great celebration. Over the recent years, the larger church that comes up with the lectionary readings, we call them the recommended texts for each week, that bring us through this church seasons, you know, from Advent to Christmas to Epiphany to Lent to Easter and on into Pentecost and so forth. The recommended readings have begun to include on this day, the Sunday before Easter, not only Palm Sunday readings, but also Passion Sunday readings. Because the tendency over the recent years, as we've gotten busier and busier in our society, is for us to come to church on Sundays, if we come to church at all, to come on Palm Sunday for this great celebration, and then come back next week for Easter. It's a great celebration. But if that's all you do, then you miss out on the heart of God, the heart of what God is calling us to as well. That there's this passion that happens in between the great celebration of Easter, or of Palm Sunday, and the great celebration of Easter that we're called to pay attention to. And actually, when we're called to follow Jesus, remember how he says, if you want to be my followers, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow. That's what happens in between Palm Sunday and Easter. I'm not saying that Easter is not phenomenal, that we shouldn't always keep it in mind. In fact, we're told in Hebrews chapter 12 that Jesus walked this path through the passion, through death itself, for the joy that was set before him. So don't forget Sunday. In fact, I love this old sermon. Maybe some of you have heard it before. I heard it first from Tony Campolo, who used it in some sermons and in a book he wrote. But he actually was referencing back to a man named Shadrach Meshach Lockridge, an African-American pastor who was a part of the civil rights movement, but really was best known for preaching to tens of thousands of people, a great preacher. And one of his most famous sermons, you might have heard of this before, is, it's Friday, but Sunday's coming. You heard that before? It's Friday, but Sunday's coming. So no matter how bad things get, keep this in mind. It might be Friday, but Sunday's coming. The resurrection's coming. God is at work. Listen to some of his whole sermon is that refrain over and over again in different ways. So here are a couple of the refrains from his sermon. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's asleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The counselor's conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. The sermon concludes. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. And a rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. And Sunday is a-coming. Isn't that good news? Isn't that great to keep in mind how important that is for us in those times of deep distress, of pain, of suffering? Sunday's coming. Sunday's coming. You know, think about how important it was for those to whom Lockridge was preaching. African Americans who had been through their descendants of slaves and in the midst of the civil rights movement, and still today the struggle goes on. And there's this word, you know, it may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. This is such an important word for us. Such an important word for those who are especially struggling. But I think for us on Palm Sunday, we need to hear a little different message. We need to make sure we hear this word when Jesus calls us to follow him. That the message on Palm Sunday might be something like this. It's Palm Sunday, but Good Friday's coming. You know, it's a celebration. It's great. But don't forget, Friday's coming. Listen to this. It's Palm Sunday. Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. Peter's celebrating. Judas is grinding his teeth. But Friday is coming. It's Palm Sunday. The crowd is triumphant. The disciples are walking with Jesus to the acclaim of all the people. Everyone is gladly laying down their coats and palm branches to make a processional carpet for Jesus. Everybody wants to be Jesus' best friend. They don't even know that Friday is coming. It's Palm Sunday. Jesus is riding high. The crowds are cheering. Everyone's confident and full of courage, overflowing with hope. Nothing can stop them now. But it's Palm Sunday. It's only Palm Sunday. And Friday's coming. See, we got to know that it's not all just fun and games. It's not all just celebration. That the path God calls us to walk, if we're going to follow Jesus, is this path to the cross, to denying ourselves and taking up our cross, our part in God's work in the world, becoming the servants that we were created to be, that we were born to be, joining in with what God's doing and trusting that come what may as we serve God. Yeah, Sunday's coming. It's going to be okay. You know, the Apostle Paul, writing to the Philippians, is talking about this. He's writing to people who are going through really difficult times in their lives. Persecution is increasing in the society around them, and as the pressure comes on them, the temptation is for them to start to fracture as a community, to start bickering and fighting with each other. This often happens to us when life gets stressful for us. We start acting out that stress in our relationships with one another. We stop being the better persons we can be, and we start being a little less than the best we can be. And Paul writes to these people in the midst of us to tell them to hang in there in the midst of the struggle. He says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. You'll hang in there together. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. He wants them to live out this community together, hanging in there with one another, looking out for each other's interests. And then he goes into what must be the most profound words. And I don't say that lightly. In the whole of the New Testament, as he talks about the path that Jesus walked and the path that we're called to walk, the mind of Christ that we are called by the power of the Spirit, with the help of the Spirit, this mind of Christ that we're called to make our own, Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work within you, enabling you both to will and to work for God's good pleasure. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. He's calling the Philippians, and God is calling us to train our minds to practice having this mind guiding our steps, our lives, to have this mind we see modeled in Jesus, lived out in our lives. This is the only path, the true path, the path that we need to walk. I've been mindful this past week. I'm sure many of you watched the NCAA finals. Anybody? I just love this time of year. And the tournament was fantastic. And you see those students, the final team standing at the end on the podium receiving that great trophy. And what a cool thing that is. It's an incredible celebration. But we need to know that the path to getting there is incredibly hard. That for some 38 games during the season and countless practices, through a lot of pain and agony, through wins and through defeats. I mean, Virginia, the team that won the championship, they knew the agony of defeat last year for sure. They'd been training, so that when the going got tough in the end of the game, they knew what to do. They didn't have to really think about it. It's just who we are. This is just what we do. We stay calm. We stay deliberate. In fact, I love the coach for the Virginia team that won the final game. His name's Tony Bennett, which is quite a name. One of our staff members mentioned not only is he calm and strong and deliberate and all that, but he's also quite cute, evidently. I won't tell your husband who I'm talking about. But one of the commentators speaking about Tony Bennett, watching him on the sidelines during each game, but certainly during the final game, when it's getting down to the final seconds and they're behind and there's no way they can win it, and he's cool, he's calm, he's deliberate, he's strong. And the commentator said, as goes the coach, as goes the leader, so goes the team. They've been practicing this all season long. They get down to 3 seconds, they get down to 0.6 seconds, and they do what they've been training to do. This is what we do. The leader has been training them. They've been following his lead all the way along, and this is what they do. And I know they're not the only team that's the truth for. There are some phenomenal coaches there, and to watch those teams, the precision, the hard work, the way, it's just amazing to see. But this is what training can do for us as we train ourselves by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, and with each other's encouragement, and by year after year, in this week, Palm Sunday, Passion Sunday, and I'd encourage you to come during the week to our Maundy Thursday services, our Good Friday services, as we follow this path of Jesus and we are reminded that this is the path for us to walk, that we need to learn this path. We need to awaken to this, the true path of life. There's no other path like this. And so as we awaken to the path, looking at this passage, I just want to point out four things that we're called to do that we see Jesus doing here. Four things. The first one is we see Jesus who is in the form of God. He is one with God, emptying himself. We need to empty ourselves. We want to hold on to whatever little power we might have, whatever little health that we've been clinging to, whatever the things are in this world that we just want to let go of. We got to, as somebody was just telling me in between services, as Pastor Jonna preached on last week, surrender it all to Jesus. Just let it go, empty ourselves. Our need for acclaim, our need for prestige, our need to be liked, our need to make sure everybody does what we think they should be doing, that the world goes the way we want it to, that everything works out the way we think it should. There's no way that anybody thought the way it should be working out was Good Friday, but that's the path for Jesus, for his followers. We empty ourselves of all those expectations. We empty ourselves of even the shame that we're clinging to, the guilt that we're clinging to. We let it go. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to just let it all go and become a servant, the second thing. We see Jesus, he emptied himself of his place in heaven, his form in heaven, and became, actually, the translation is a slave, you know, one without any rights. This is just who I am. You think about how we can serve without being a servant. Like you can serve, do acts of service just so you get what you want, you know? We do this in business. Well, if I serve, I'll get a higher wage. I'll get the sale. That's not what we're talking about here. We don't serve in order to gain. We serve because that's who we are. We empty ourselves. We become a servant like Jesus was a servant, a slave like Jesus. No rights, no claims on anything. This is just who I am, so this is what I do. And so as we think about the year ahead, the weeks ahead, what does it mean for you to be a servant? Not just to serve in certain situations and circumstances, but to come to understand yourself as a servant of God, and as a servant of God, a servant of others. We need to, thirdly, become humbly obedient. To be seeking God's word for us, not just what God is saying to your friend or your spouse, you know, like, did you hear what they said for you? But what is God calling you to do? What's God's word for you right now as we're going through this worship time? What does it mean for you to be humbly obedient? And when I say humbly obedient, it's really important, both words, because we can be obedient and proudly so, right? Like, look at me. I'm obeying God's word. How about you? We're called to be humbly obedient. You know, we obey God because that's the path of life, because that's who we are. What else could I do? Like Peter said to Jesus, you have the words of life. Why would I turn away? And so for us to be coming to church this week and each week, to be joining in with our classes, our small groups, to be taking time for prayer and for studying God's word. And if you don't have that practice as a part of your life, I'd just encourage you to join one of our small groups where we learn together how to do that. Speak with one of the pastors about how you can develop that practice of listening to God's word so that you can be humbly obedient. Not perfectly obedient, but humbly so, learning step by step. Because finally, ultimately, all we can do and we're called to do is to trust God as we walk this path. Now, this is what we see Jesus doing. He goes, walks this path. We know he does it without sin. But none of us will do that. But all of us, like Jesus, can do it trusting the Father. whether we get it right, whether we get it wrong, all the way along, we can trust that God's love will see us through. I love the three words that are right in the middle of this passage. It says, therefore, God also. If you read my devotional in the Salem app this past week or on our website, you would have seen these three words that have just been standing out for me all week. Therefore, God also. You see, Jesus walks this path of suffering, pain, sacrifice, service, and even death. And therefore, God also gives him the name that is above every name. He raises him from the dead. He lets him be the ruler of all things. You see, the Father will always fulfill his part of the deal. The question is, will we do our part? Because if we do our part, well, therefore God also will do God's part. He'll accomplish abundantly far more than you ever could ask or imagine. That's what God does. But that's what God does. You don't make resurrection happen. You don't make transforming the world happen. You're not that powerful. That's not you. Your part is this part, the service part, the walking the path that Jesus walked part. And trusting God to do what God alone can do, which is to transform your life and the lives of those around you in this world we live in to the glory of God. I love the good news that Paul ends this portion of the passage with. For God is at work in you, enabling you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's such good news for me. Because I know I don't get it all right. I know my ears don't hear all that well. I struggle to follow this path, but I invite you to struggle with me, to join me in seeking to walk this path of service, of sacrifice, of obedience to the Father's call in our lives. Join me. Trusting that God is able to do abundantly far more than all we could ask or imagine, that he will enable us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. That's what God does as we trust him. And so more than anything, this Palm Passion Sunday, I want to invite you to trust him, right? To sing Hosanna and to place your life in his hands. And ask him to lead you on this path that is the true path of life. If you've never done that before, if you've never said, Jesus, I entrust my life into your hands, lead me on the path of life. I want to invite you to do that, even now as we pray. Would you join me? Lord, we acknowledge as we gather this morning that we come from different experiences and each one of us at different places on our path of life. So right now I want to pray for those whose path is bringing them before you, maybe for the first time, or in a way that is awakening them to your call and your invitation to them for the first time or for a deeper time in their life. And if you're one of those who is at that point in your life, I'd invite you to pray with me. Jesus, I entrust my life into your hands. I empty myself of my need to control everything, to be the leader of my own life. And I pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit and lead me on the path that is the true path of life. For all of us here, Lord God, we pray that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would enable us both to will and to work for your good pleasure. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who showed us the way, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen.